Welcome, everyone, everybody. You're listening to Skid Row Studios. This is the weekly wrap-up. Like us on Facebook. You can catch the show live every Sunday at skidrowstudios.com. Subscribe for free on iTunes. I am your host, Ken August. I am joined today by comedian Chris Z. How are you, buddy?
I'm fantastic, man. I hope everybody else listening is as good as I am right now.
That's a strong wish. That's nice. That's nice.
I'm jacked with coffee right that is, now. Just jacked.
That is a pleasant beginning. That's a lot better than me getting stumbling on word two. But that was nice. That is very nice. As always, anyone, feel free to call the show, 800-893-9562. We'll talk about whatever story is on your mind. So far on the docket today, if it's not a court, is it still a docket? I'm going to go with docket until someone corrects me. Syria, we'll check in on that. Trayvon Martin case, not a lot, but Bill Lee, the police chief, resigns. 20th anniversary of the Rodney King verdict and ensuing. Thank you. The Romney versus Obama, Supreme Court had all sorts of decisions, and we'll talk a little Octomom, Lindsay Lohan. Rumor is the G-spot was found. That's always good news. That's on my places to visit list.
I've been doing extensive research since you announced that as a show topic.
But first, let's check in with the splendid Secret Service.
And a new report suggests oversexed body behavior in the Secret Service was not limited to Colombia. It might have happened in El Salvador last year, ahead of President Obama's visit. A Seattle reporter interviewed a source who claimed a dozen agents and some U.S. military personnel got drunk at a strip club, paid extra for sexual favors, and bragged that they took strippers back to their hotel rooms all the time.
All the time.
This is an outrage. I don't know when this started, but we need to put a stop to this. Going to third world countries for sex, this is...
You don't like the fact that they are outsourcing?
This is an international crisis. I want to know when this started. I want to know if this started last week or last month.
No, this started way before that. That's the thing. Apparently, the investigation is uncovering a whole lot more. It's expanded. They're looking now at El Salvador. They're also looking back when Clinton was in office, in Argentina, although let's be honest, when Clinton was in office, he may have been with them when they went to find the hookers.
He's like, no, I'm good right here. I got what I need right here. You guys go.
Apparently what happens in El Salvador stays in El Salvador is not the rule because everything is now, it is coming out and the Secret Service is going under a whole new set of rules pretty soon.
Can we find this guy, this cheapskate? Who ruined it for everybody. You know what I'm talking about, right?
The guy who wouldn't pay the $800. First of all, yeah, it's ridiculous negotiations to agree to $800 anyway for a Colombian hooker. I would assume you can get a cheaper one.
Yeah, you shouldn't be paying American prices for a Colombian hooker.
Once again, the outsourcing of jobs is horrible. But yeah, he decided to save money and lose his job. And still ended up paying $200-something. So that is not a
but
great
But it's the
deal.
Principle. It's the principle, guys. I still won the argument.
You know, and here's the thing is generally I am not afraid of the party hard, if you work hard scenario. But when you start getting drunk and bringing hookers in, you know, and you are involved in security, I don't think there's any better way for shit to go wrong than those.
I just want to know, and I'm going to be here. I'm putting myself out there. I'm just, you know, when I say this, because I realize it could come back to haunt me. But when are we going to stop pretending as a society that this behavior is aberrant? Like these guys have done something. These men are men. That's why they did this. That's exactly the kind of man you want protecting our president. You don't want me protecting our president. You want guys who bang hookers.
Yes and no. I mean, I agree with you. Like I said, I don't have a problem, and I think prostitution should be legalized. However, I think it is in Colombia anyway. But that being said,
are they spending my tax dollars to do it? Yes or no? That's the only concern I have.
Here's the thing: you could have added even if this guy said, you know what, I'll write you a check, and we'll just add that $800 onto the deficit. You know what? Fine. Who's going to notice that? Wait a second. What's this extra $800 for? But still, I think, like I said, I mean, and I don't have a problem with these guys partying hard when they're off duty.
When they're off the clock, which I believe they were.
Well, if you're in, probably were. I don't know. But if you're in, if you're bringing hookers back to your hotel rooms and getting shit-faced with them, I don't know if I want our security guys doing that. I mean, now it's a different time and age. I mean, back, you know, apparently there was like 20 people in the Cold War, during the Cold War time, that Kennedy didn't sleep with. But still, I don't want, you know, I don't want my security guys being shit-faced. I'm fine with it when you're off duty, but not when you're in the country setting stuff up.
This reminds me, I don't know if you remember this this film from a long time ago, In the Line of Fire with Clint Eastwood. And if you remember, the kind of a subplot in that story was that the Secret Service had been out partying the night before, and they may have bared some of the responsibility of Kennedy getting assassinated because they weren't, at the top of their game. I know it's just fiction, but it just reminded me what you said. But who knows? I mean, is that what you're angling at?
Are you blaming possibly the Kennedy assassination on hungover agents? Is that what you're claiming?
I'm just saying that one could reasonably make that argument, that you could say, hey, you know, these guys, if you need to be up at 9 a.m. protecting the leader of the free world, yeah, maybe you shouldn't be, you know, pounding, tequila or...
And if you're one of the few people with that kind of security information, I don't need you surrounded, smothered in Colombian hookers, shit-faced. I don't need it.
Yeah, saying things to impress. Or, I know the codes. I know the codes. I'll show them to you right now.
That red button,
if I touch that red button, we all die.
Right, and for us to pretend that these guys are so on their game, and I got, respect for obviously for what they do, but to pretend they're so on their game that nothing can go wrong... Right. Something went wrong. This guy couldn't handle an $800 hooker bill, and something went wrong. So if this guy can't handle that, and then you have the other guy putting his Facebook page comments about, checking out Sarah Palin, you're like, there are not bright people in that department as well, apparently. So I don't,
I'm fascinated that I just got a job as a caterer, and I had to fill out a packet to do it. I literally had to undergo a background check, and I'm wondering how some of these people make it to where they are without, and nobody picks up on these things.
Apparently, they didn't do it until they got into the Secret Service.
Clean
as could be.
There's some of them that we know. There's clearly no background check on them, like Catholic priests. But now there's apparently some new faces like coaches. Coaches now, we know that clearly nobody is looking into their background. And when they do uncover something by accident, they ignore it. It's sanctioned to ignore it.
Well, I think it depends on how many wins your football team had previously.
Oh, that's true. I stand corrected.
Yeah. Now, in a slightly different topic, but a soldier saying shit he shouldn't say. Sergeant Gary Stein, thanks for making us Jews look bad, Gary. Wednesday, he learned he's a Marine, and he learned he would receive an, quote, other than honorable discharge for criticizing the president. First of all, I didn't know they had an other than honorable discharge. That's what it says. I'm not making that up. I know that you can get something for it if it's maybe some sort of slightly off yellow discharge, but I don't know what an other than honorable is, but he criticized the president. He said, among other things online, screw Obama. I will not follow orders from him. He is the economic enemy, the religious enemy, the fundamentally change America enemy. He is the domestic enemy. Those are all quotes.
I root for the underdog. I play the devil's advocate. Fine, but in this case, I don't think there's any question that this guy should have been dismissed. Your job, first and foremost, is to obey the commander in chief. That is Obama's title, commander in chief. If you don't like that, you shouldn't be in the military. There's no ambiguity in here. This guy has got to go.
And that's the thing is that usually when you come up on freedom of speech, quite often you want to side with the freedom of speech, but. The idiots that want to burn the flag, you have a right to burn the flag, I think. You're an idiot for wanting to burn the flag to protest that you have the right to burn the flag. But still, they have a right to do silly shit. But, and freedom of speech is needs to be protected. However, if this guy on his, if this guy was to say to one of his supervisors, to his, colonel or to any of those people in the military, I'm not going to follow his orders. He's the enemy and gives four different types of enemies, this guy is. That wouldn't be tolerated. So for him to do it to the person in charge of the whole military, I don't see how that could possibly be tolerated. He had been warned. This is the other thing. He had already been warned about a different Facebook page he started 2 years ago called Armed Forces Tea Party.
So there was clearly proof that there was some kind of element of deceit on his part. He went and started another Facebook page trying to continue the behavior and avoid the repercussions of doing
so. I don't know if that was the reason. I think one might have been a person. One was a forum, a forum for active duty meteorologists and oceanographers, which military,
perfect,
obviously.
Slash political dissent.
Yes. Looks a little rainy. Rainy for Obama. And then he goes on.
That'd be a funny dynamic for a radio show, like that. One meteorologist, one oceanographer, and then one guy who just goes, it's goddamn Obama's fault making
He did, after he said he was disappointed in the decision, but he did say he apologized to the president. He said, if he was in front of me right now, I would salute him. Yes, Mr. President. No, Mr. President. And when I walked away, I would still disagree with his policies, but those are two separate things, end quote.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say this guy is a right wing. I'm just going to go on and say, because as we know, these people, their allegiance to their president stops short of Democrats. When a Republican's in office, you obey your president without question. You die for him. But
yes.
Apparently when he's a Negro. Oh, sorry. Did I say that? My apologies. When it's a Democrat.
Even if you didn't say it, it was implied. Although I will say this for that guy as well. He did specify on his page as well that he will not accept or tolerate any racist or vulgar comments. But that being said, I think he's trying to. He just got an other than honorable discharge.
I have to know what that is. I, too, have never heard that expression. I've heard of honorable, I've heard of dishonorable, but it's kind of in between. It's the purgatory of dismissals.
It is bizarre. Let's move over to Syria real quick. They have the ceasefire that's being held together by a Band-Aid.
Literally.
Yeah, exactly. They had 30 unarmed monitors from the UN. They would talk to people, they would leave, and then the opposition was saying when they would leave, the government people would come in and assassinate or harass or beat up or bomb the area.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, that was the local chapter of the Guardian Angels, correct?
However you say that in Syrian, maybe. So, of course, the UN decided that the best thing for them to do was increase these unarmed high school hall monitors that they're sending in there from 30 to 300, although that could take them up to a month to get them in there. What are they taking? Horses? Like, how are they getting there?
Yeah, by the time they get there, it's going to look like an abandoned old West town.
Well, now, Syria derided the UN chief for his comments. They called him outrageous. Because he had blamed most of the ceasefire violations on the Syrian government. Of course, the UN is suspicious that he is just stalling for time because he doesn't want to be forced out of office. And they're trying to implement Kofi Annan, I like to say Kofi Annan's 6-point roadmap, which I also have a question about. But a ceasefire is to be followed by the deployment of as many as 300 UN truce monitors that can take a month to get there. Did they not realize, by the way, how's the roadmap working in Israel? Like, do they not realize that the Middle East can't follow roadmaps?
Hey, guys, look to your neighbor.
Yeah.
Just look over there and look. Do some research how long that roadmap to peace has been out. I would love to see that roadmap, Drew. It would probably look like a maze. Sorry, I called you Drew.
Yeah, I know. I noticed that. That's all right. I've been called worse, although not much worse. Trayvon Martin, the police chief, has resigned. However, in a strange turn of events... The resign didn't take. Listen to this.
In a shocking 3-2 vote today, the Sanford City Commission rejected the resignation of Sanford Police Chief Bill Lee. City Manager Norton Bonaparte Jr. and Chief Lee had reached a separation agreement but needed the City Commission's approval. Just 1 month ago, that same Sanford City Commission passed a vote of no confidence in that same police chief, Bill Lee.
Can you figure that out? I'm sorry. How's that sandwich you got stuffed in your face? How's that working for you? Good? Every time there's an audio clip, he jams like half a pound of sandwich in his face. I'm going to tell you next time the show starts an hour earlier and feed you for 55 minutes.
In my defense, we don't usually get fed. But that's how, talk about a mom and pop operation here. I'm coming in here. I pay to park. In fact, the show almost didn't go off today because we were in contract negotiations.
So this I've never heard of, by the way. The chief of police, Bill Lee, They vote
Sorry,
no confidence.
Did you say Billy? Or?
Well, that's the thing. When he's a kid, was he Billy Lee? I don't understand. That's I'd like to know, but I don't like to know that badly.
Or do you just drag it out? Billy.
Lily. He resigned, or let me phrase that. First, he stepped down because there was a vote of no confidence. Then basically the city manager worked out a deal and said to him, okay, here's your resignation package. You know, we're going to need to move on. That's probably not happening with you in office. And they voted 3-2, no confidence. So why don't you take this package? Okay, I'll take the package. And then they vote the same five people that voted no confidence a month before, and the mayor flip-flopped on it. And so 3-2, they decided to not take his resignation. Which reminded me of this, by the way.
I'm sorry, but this is not working out. We're asking you to go.
No, I stay.
You don't understand. You're fired.
No, I keep job.
Here, here's $40 if you leave right now.
No, I stay.
No, not exactly the same. They're trying to get rid of her and she won't go. But the resignation, it didn't take, is bizarre.
Can I just ask, Gus, did you try and get the audio on that and you couldn't? So you went to whatever second option, some kind of audio remotely related to it.
Well, as soon as they said, well, he resigned, but they said no. That was the first thing to come. No, I stay.
How do you say no to a resignation? I mean, are you going to lock the door from the outside? I don't.
Here's the thing: is the one person there's five people. The same out of those 3-2 that voted no confidence, the mayor Jeff Triplett switched, and he said, "I am not ready to have him come back and run the police department, but I am not ready for this either." Well, you do realize he would be the police chief. So if you're not ready for him to run the police department, good to take the resignation would be my thought.
This is appalling because in so many situations, it's a person in charge not taking responsibility, you know, not resigning, that causes so much dissent among the public. So here you have a guy that's clearly stepping up to the plate, or, you know, and saying right or wrong, you know, whatever it takes to ease this tension, to, you know, to kind of placate the public. And he tries to do that. And then, now, not only does it look bad for the mayor and the people that are rejecting his resignation, but it almost kind of making him look bad, too, because he's trying to do the right thing.
Well, he did specify that he would not choose to step down, but he agreed to step down based on the recommendation of the city manager. And so he agreed to do that. He was also going to get a severance package of $54,000 or whatever, which, you know, I mean, he's losing his job, so I don't really know a whole bunch about severance packages, but he would have gotten some money and would have taken that.
Hopefully it's not one of those deals where you have to train your successor before.
<It's> like, he hasn't even been on a job for a year, less than a year. And then this shit happens. Now, here's the thing is, I mean, it's basically just because of how the case was handled. Obviously, the lead investigator back in the day originally wanted to arrest George Zimmerman and charge with manslaughter, and they decided that was not a good idea. And then, of course, when they eventually got a task force, it took that woman not that much time by herself to say, yeah, we can bring charges easily. Now, he may not eventually be found guilty, but obviously, Bill Lee didn't do a whole bunch to push this case forward. He actually, you know, as much as he could to just brush it aside. But because of them rejecting this, he gets paid. He stays on administrative leave while an investigation continues.
This is probably the best thing that ever happened to him, because here's a guy that could go to work for a private security company or something like that, walk out with a severance package, go work in the private sector, probably make more money. So it's probably, you know, behooves him to just resign, you know. And distance himself from this ugly spectacle.
Yeah, I don't like when you call me that. But yes, I mean, that's bizarre. And now here's the question, is that do you think if he's found not guilty, do you get, since this week is the 20th anniversary of the Rodney King verdict?
You know, I'll tell you, I don't know if you know this, but I come from Orlando. I moved about 8 years ago, and Sanford's literally our next door neighbor. In fact, at one point, it was the county seat of Central Florida. It was intended to usurp Orlando. All that aside, it is a tad bit rednecky. I mean, you'll notice that just even, you know, hanging out or driving through there.
Most of that state.
Yeah, exactly. 20 minutes in any direction from any city will take. But I do wonder if there's enough of a disenfranchised, highly populated, you know, black contingent that will, you know, collectively gather, and I don't see.
Well, I don't know if it would have to happen in just Sanford. I mean, why would they not riot here? You know, is the news any different? You know what I mean? Now everything's out immediately anyway, although Rodney King was 20 years ago. It's not like we didn't have TV cameras there at all times, but now things are immediate.
Everything following the incident has been, going the right way, so to speak. You know, I mean, once this ugly incident was brought to the public's attention, a task force was assigned. Here's the police chief trying to resign. Clearly, you know, the zeitgeist is right. Moving in the right direction on this story. So I don't think there's as much bubbling anger as there would be in like a Rodney King type case.
My big concern about that, and I had talked about this earlier, is that while they were trying to get an arrest, the media, in an attempt to fill as much time as possible, decided that they were also going to try the case. Not everybody, but a good portion of them to this extent, they've already labeled him a racist.
Right.
They're like, oh, you can hear him say coon, when now it's like, well, he probably said punk. Oh, this video showed he didn't have blood on his head, and then somebody enhances the video, and you're like, well, he did have a cut on his head. It's, you know, do I think, you know, with the limited information I have, that more than likely he's guilty? Yeah. I mean, I would bet as all my money on it, which wouldn't really amount to a lot, but I would bet on that. But that doesn't mean anything. I'm not on the jury.
I have to ask you, and this is speaking a great deal from personal experience. Do black people not know that some people are just assholes? Like, some people are assholes just because they're assholes. They're not necessarily because they're racists.
Yes, I think they, well, yes, but I think here's the thing is when you deal with that, that often or have a history of it, I can assume and I can understand why you would assume that that may play a role in it. And it very well may play a role in this as well. But it also may just be that this guy was not all there and just is a wannabe cop and had nothing to do with race.
I don't think that's an assumption. I think the facts indicate that.
Yes, but whether this guy's race drew his attention, I mean, if Trayvon was a white dude walking around, this guy very well may not have been, you know.
But there is that situation where there was the burglaries that took place in that neighborhood in the past by young black males. I mean, yes, that's profiling, but in some cases you profile because they fit the image.
Yes. What I would like to know, and like I said, I am not saying he is racist. I am not saying he's not. I have no idea, but before he got arrested, in their attempt to bring him, you know, to get him arrested, they decided to, or a lot of outlets decided to basically also assign his motive.
Oh, absolutely. I'm sorry if you thought I was disagreeing.
No, I'm not. But to me, no, I didn't. But I mean, to me, that is a problem. So now, if he somehow gets off, or are people as excited is not the right word, but are people as satisfied with a conviction if they come to the conclusion that race had nothing to do with this? I'm not sure everybody is. I think some people are on this is, I've already assigned the reason for this, and that is what they, yeah, I hear some kind of music as well. That's nice. I like a little background music.
Delilah.
Interesting though. Rodney King, 20 years later, he's now engaged. His fiance, by the way, is, he still battles addiction. I think alcoholism. His fiance was on the jury that awarded him $3.8 million in 1994. They met up years later.
That makes perfect sense. You know, she's like, it's funny, I wasn't attracted to the defendant during the trial, but as soon as that trial ended, I just couldn't resist him.
He was a different man when he left. That's he learned from his mistake. He learned to be richer. Worked for OJ for a while.
Yeah, it's hard to believe it's been 20 years, but I do remember that like it was yesterday. I mean, I was about all of, you know, 15 years old. I would watch it on TV. And somebody made a valid point because obviously, you know, there's always that story that's in the news and it's like the lead story when in public circles or whatever. And somebody said, you know, being on all fours is not resisting arrest, you know?
Yeah. Well, but he did try to get up once. Is that not worth like 6 minutes of beating?
I think it's fair to say there's a point when you're being hit by, four or six officers where you're no longer responsible for your act. I mean, how are you supposed to maintain, cognitive reasoning or sensible behavior in the wake of a brutal beating with nightsticks.
Yeah, no, there is no answer for that. And you're talking about a guy whose first logical decision was, well, I'm going to run from these guys in the first place. So, he probably wasn't prone to the logical decision, and they didn't give him much of a chance by continuously beating him until he was almost dead. Which brings us to the death penalty.
Yeah.
It would.
There was no public ceremony, no TV cameras, and so far the governor's office has even refused to release a still photograph of what some consider an historic event.
On the day that another Quinnipiac poll showed a clear majority of Connecticut voters supporting the death penalty, Governor Malloy signed the repeal bill into law. He did it behind closed doors with no public ceremony, his office not wanting any images of anything that appeared to be a celebration.
I've struggled with this issue, mostly as a younger person, when I became a prosecutor in New York City, and understand very well that the legal system is fallible, and that this is not a business that the state should be in.
So, Connecticut, I will let you finish stuffing your face. So, Connecticut joined 16 other states to abolish the capital punishment. Your thoughts on that? Your thoughts on the death penalty in general?
This tune is spectacular. No, I'm sorry. I'm just kidding. Here's the thing. I'm actually pro capital punishment. Have been for a long time. However, as crazy as it might sound, I'm totally for this. There is no question in anyone's mind. I mean, if you've ever read an article concerning Project Innocence, that our legal system serves the wealthy. It's a fact that black males are subject to harsher penalties for the same crimes as white males. That's a statistical fact, and this shit needs to stop. Either the playing field is level, or it has to stop.
So what you're saying, which sounds like you fall along the same lines as myself, which is basically, you'd be for the death penalty, you just don't trust the people that have to get to that conclusion.
Absolutely. And if you remember, it was about, I'd say 10 to 12 years ago, I think it was Illinois, the governor put a halt to the death penalty. And I think that was based on research that he did, where he just said, this is clearly not fair. They are not, delegating equal punishment to everyone along. It was a moral decision on his part, I feel the same way,
The poll came out on the same day that he signed this to repeal the death penalty. A poll came out in Connecticut. 62% favored the death penalty, 30% oppose it. However, and he still signed it to repeal. However, when that poll question was asked this way, would you rather have the death penalty, or would you rather there be the death penalty or just life without parole? It was 46% each. So people are fine with the death penalty, but if you give them another option that sounds shitty, they're like, all right, I'm fine with that as well. Here's an interesting thing, though. And part of, he was going to do this earlier, but there was a push to not do it for a while because there was a horrible...
I know where you're going with this.
Yeah, right? There was a horrible murder.
Horrible. I mean, you couldn't, a gifted fiction writer couldn't write that.
These two assholes broke into a doctor's home, basically molested the daughter, tied everybody up.
The daughters were 9 and 11, I believe.
Two daughters, a wife, and the doctor. They beat the crap out of everybody, tied them up, and then set the house on fire.
Yeah, to dispose of the evidence. And, I this isn't a joke when I say this, but I honestly do. I do wonder sometimes if that doctor wouldn't have been better off dead, because he actually survived that incident and now had, was left. I mean, imagine losing your two younger
wife
in the same day. For an incident that not only could have been avoided, but was, a terrible, unpredictable crime.
Those two guys were caught and convicted, and obviously there was a push to not repeal the death penalty until after these people. So the deal that was cut was they repealed the death penalty, but it does not apply to the 11 people currently awaiting the death penalty.
Okay.
Anybody else would be the worst they can get is life imprisonment without the possibility of release. But, and here's an interesting thing about the death penalty to me, and about the debate in general. Even the people that said, I will repeal it, it shouldn't be in there, said, but these other assholes are so evil, they should die first.
I wonder if that isn't them kind of voicing the same opinion I just voiced on the subject. Because I do believe there will come a day when you can sentence people to death with no with nothing weighing on your conscience. I mean, DNA is just the beginning of that, which has, what, a 99%
accuracy rate. Right, but now these people, do you think that they're not going to come across another evil son of a bitch that they know is guilty? I mean, that's kind of the ironic thing of what I'm saying, is that they say, all right, well, let's repeal this, but these people are so bad, they should die, and then we'll start it from now. And you're like, okay, what about the next asshole who does something just as horrible? You go, well, starting now. Do you keep doing it?
I don't disagree that that's odd and perhaps doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But like I said, there's a few cases. It's not often, but you do hear cases where the evidence is irrefutable. In fact, these two former criminal scumbags that you're talking about who committed that crime, both of them ex-cons. I mean, there's no question in anyone's mind.
They were running out. They were seen running out of the place. Yeah, they were caught.
At least one of them turned on the other. So there's no question that they committed that crime. And I have no problem with watching them be, you know.
No, although I think for people like that, I've been a big fan of the guilty as piss rule, which I don't think I can really pass. But if you're that guilty, and there's, I mean, Charles Manson, guilty. Right. We just keep him in prison because California overturned a death penalty. There's a point where, have you seen pictures of him now? He looks like, you know, Sean Connery in 30 years from now. You know what I'm saying? He's got that. There's no hair. He's got the Captain Stubing thing going. He looks like a mess. And you're like, well, by the way, I don't think Sean Connery ever had a swastika.
Yeah, I was going to say, when you show up to your parole hearing with a swastika carved in your forehead, they should be like, you know what? Even if you weren't sentenced to the death penalty, you get it now.
That's what I'm saying. These two assholes, they should be either used for medical testing, you know, get some use out of them, used for medical testing, or let the father who did survive beat the shit out of him. Let him be the one to kill him if he wants.
I like that guilty as piss, and you should write your congressman, but just change the name, though.
I don't think that name will pass?
I don't think I'll go for it with that.
God damn it. People are sensitive. Yeah, well, I guess, but...
Can we take a minute for some levity? Should we lighten things up?
We'll lighten it up with Romney. We got Romney versus Obama, basically. Here he is.
To all of you, I have a simple message. Hold on a little longer. A better America begins tonight.
That was Mitt Romney speaking in New Hampshire after he pulled off a 5-state sweep in the latest GOP primaries. Now, as you heard, this has him sort of crowning himself as the presumptive GOP nominee, and that's pretty much the way it looks. Of course, given that, the question becomes, how long does Newt Gingrich stay in the race?
Well, Newt decided the answer to that is 1 week.
You mean he's still in the race?
Well, he doesn't seem like a guy who's big on racing. But yeah, after Romney won New York, Pennsylvania, Connecticut, Rhode Island, and Delaware all in this past week, all in one day, Newt decided that he was going to live the good life for only one more week.
Well, this is a tad bit embarrassing, Gus, but I will admit I thought he had given up any hope of becoming president back when he cheated for the second time on his second wife and then went on national television and said, motivated partially by my love of country, I did some things that I thought that was the point where he knew it was over.
And yet that wasn't even the end of the first quarter. This is the same guy that wants the 51st state to be on the moon. So here's our greatest hits to Newt.
Newt Gingrich, the big thinker.
Yeah, I'm going to disappoint those in the audience who want this to be a Hollywood game. The odds are very high I'm going to be the nominee. And I wish you would put aside the gotcha questions.
Can we drop a little bit of the pious baloney?
There are lots of bunny rabbits that run through. I'm the tortoise.
I don't have to go around and point out the inconsistencies of people who aren't going to be the nominee. They're not going to be the nominee.
You're going to be the nominee.
I'm going to be the nominee. I think I'm much more mature than I was when I was speaker. And I'm very concerned about not appearing to be zany.
We will have the first permanent base on the moon. When we have 13,000 Americans living on the moon, they can petition to become a state.
Really poor children. What if they became assistant janitors and their job was to mop the floor and clean the bathroom?
The message we should give Mitt Romney is, you know, we aren't that stupid and you aren't that clever.
He didn't create 100,000 jobs. He didn't come close to creating 100,000 jobs.
Are you calling Mitt Romney a liar?
Yes.
I like the bluntness. I'll give him that. Even though a lot of the bluntness is smothered in stupidity,
he did take a kind of a page out of the George W. Bush book there with the you know, just do it with confidence. Whatever it is, do it with extreme confidence, and you know you'll win over, you know, anybody who wears a big belt buckle and a cowboy hat.
That is well, you had to wait for Rick Perry to dumb his way out of the race as well. But yes, but eventually, yes. Well, that was his thing, was his big thing, and his numbers always soared when he started yelling at somebody. When someone would bring shit up, he would be like, "You're an idiot for asking. The liberal media is an idiot. You're all stupid. Hate you." It's, and they're like, "Hey!"
It's probably not the oldest trick in the book, but it's at least the top three. The old, go on the offensive. You know what I mean? Look, I'm not going to lie to you. When I slack at work, I could teach a class at this and slacking at work. Because, you know, I sneak off to write jokes or whatever. Whenever you come out and you've been away for a while and you've been shirking your work, come out with confidence. Maintain eye contact and walk at a brisk pace. And it's that confidence. Nobody will ever ask you where you've been. And now if you slink around a corner, somebody will go, "Hey, man, where you been?" But I've learned this trick. Another thing I do, I take something with me. I grab some supply.
Yes.
You know, and it makes it, and you go, "God, does anyone know how to keep a closet organized here?"
I told this story, I believe, on the call sheet back in the day, where I used to work for years as a counselor, as a hockey instructor at a sleepaway camp. And every year, a week before, 2 weeks before any of the American staff would show up, there was already a bunch of European staff that was flown in, and they're having them, you know, work, you know, redo the bunks and reset up the, you know, all the little buildings and whatever little construction and cleanup needs to be done. And there was a guy, Sid, this Australian guy, Sid, great dude. And the third summer I worked there, I realized that Sid is walking around with this 2x4 piece of wood that he's had every summer, and he just walks from side to side. And I go, "Sid, what are you doing?" He goes, "Hey, mate, I just walk around with this 2x4 and I put it out in the woods afterwards, and nobody asks me a goddamn thing." I'm like, that's, first of all, a horrible impression. But also, that was, for three summers, the guy just walked around with one piece of wood. It was a fantastic move.
And it probably did a good work on his waistline, too. He's like, "It keeps me fit, you know."
Confidence will do a tremendous amount, both in Los Angeles and in Washington. But and you can tell that president feels the same way, considering he's going into campaign mode like this.
Now, there's some in Congress who disagree. They say keeping the interest rate low isn't the way to help our students. They say we should be doing everything we can to pay down the national debt. Well, so long as it doesn't include taxing billionaires. But their position is that students just have to make this rate increase work. Frankly, I don't buy it.
The Barackness monster ain't buying it.
Nice.
Very funny.
Can you imagine Mitt Romney doing that, by the way? We use humor of some sort of another.
Explain this humor to me one more time. Does not compute.
So that was Obama and Jimmy Fallon slow jamming the news, talking about student loan rates, which both sides want to keep down. The difference being Democrats want to pay for it by getting rid of big oil subsidies, and the Republicans are looking to get rid of funding for breast cancer screenings.
And sure, it's not like breast cancer is a widespread problem.
No, and oil needs the money.
It's not like breast cancer is going to kill you.
Don't. I'm going to put you on the list close with Drew, who's up with three death jokes and leading the league right now. All right, we're going to hit our rarely seen legal section with the Supreme Court dealing with right now with the immigration law in Arizona.
An emotional day outside the U.S. Supreme Court Wednesday as supporters and opponents of a controversial Arizona immigration law faced off. Inside, the court was hearing arguments over the law that requires police to check the legal status of people they stop for other reasons. Arizona Governor Jan Brewer was booed as she left the court. She signed the measure into law 2 years ago and remains steadfast in her support of it.
Have you seen Jan Brewer is the lady who put the finger up in the face of Obama? And I saw the clip of her coming out of the Supreme Court.
You know what I very much would have liked to have seen? You remember that old like Steven Seagal move where he uses like, you know, like you take that finger when somebody puts it in your face and you turn it and you twist it and they fall to their knees?
Yeah, but with Stand Your Ground, you could have shot him.
Yeah,
so that's not you can't do that.
He
now.
Is a black man. Was he? A black man approached me.
I don't know if she has aged dramatically since that incident, but she was one leathery woman coming out of there. I mean, she looked like an old man scrotum walking out of that place. That was bad.
I really try and keep myself above ridiculing people for their appearance, but I will concede that she does have a very wild-eyed appearance, and the things that you hear her that she said and that she gets in trouble for is exactly what you would expect someone that looks like that to say.
That was a lot nicer than saying she looked like an old man scrotum. That was much nicer. You're a classy, classy man. Thank you for classing this place up. So here's the thing. I don't have a problem with Arizona taking, you know, I don't have a problem with any real border state trying to limit their illegal immigration problem. If somebody's arrested, I understand that they're going to check the status of that person if they're arrested. But the big problem, one of the big controversial parts of the Arizona immigration law is the requirement that police officers check the immigration status of people they suspect may illegally be in the country.
Are you implying that when a Canadian gets pulled over, he's not going to receive the same degree of scrutiny that a brown man with an accent will?
If he is a very tan Canadian wearing a sombrero, yes, he may be in some trouble. Otherwise, you're fine if you're white as glue. I mean, you better be Irish. You're good.
I take umbrage to the fact, Gus, that you're implying that the police can't be trusted.
I don't know who this umbrage fella is, but you should let him go. And I will tell you right now. So here's another provision.
I beg of you to name one incident where the police have profiled someone based on their race and some injury has come to them.
When we're done, I'm going to ask you to rewind the show.
Now, what was it, 20-year anniversary of what?
Yeah, exactly. Rodney's still trying to heal up.
he just got better. He's probably, I feel myself again.
I am trying to right now, as we speak, by the way, I'm trying to make bumper stickers for Arizona that say, if you're brown, slow down, because I'm thinking that may help. That may help a little bit. But because there's another provision that says, if you suspected illegal immigrants are allowed to be arrested without a warrant. So police are required if they, for some reason, assume, you know, that you may be here illegally.
Assumption based not on their race.
No.
Not on what they see with their eyes, but based on what, a sixth sense, an intuition.
Sometimes a t-shirt
feeling.
That says, I am not a real American, one of those t-shirts, you know, those are pretty.
In case he has his I am not a citizen bumper sticker on his car.
That couple that has the shirt where I'm with him and his shirt says checker status, you know, those two shirts. But I mean, so they're allowed to say, they're required, if they stop you for any reason to say, I believe this person may be here illegally. And then based on whatever that would be, they're then allowed to arrest you. Here's my problem with this. I don't have a problem with if they can figure out a way to do it where you're not telling anybody who's tan to basically have to bring their papers. That's basically what you're saying, is bring your papers if you're not white as glue.
How do they not foresee the inevitable rash of lawsuits that are going to take place when you get a legal immigrant or even somebody who was born here who maybe has the same name as an illegal immigrant who lives in the same community, a case of mistaken identity? I mean, I give it 1 week before that happens.
And yet, the Supreme Court looks like they, you know, at least are showing signs that they may, you know, may pass it. But moving on with our legal section, John Edwards, who has won my douchebag of the week on at least one occasion, he is currently continuing his trial. Let's listen to this.
Today, former U.S. presidential candidate John Edwards is facing criminal charges. The ex-senator is on trial, suspected of using nearly $1 million in campaign funds to hide his mistress from his cancer-stricken wife and from the public.
Edwards was picked as the Democrats' vice presidential nominee in 2004, and he ran for president in 2008. And then it all came crashing down. He had an affair with Riel Hunter, who shot video on his campaign and fathered a child with her. This while his wife had been battling cancer.
I will regret for the rest of my life the pain and the harm that I've caused to others. But I did not break the law.
Edwards is accused of illegally using campaign funds to hide the child, his mistress, and their affair. He contends the money used was a personal gift, not a political contribution. A key witness, former aide Andrew Young, who first said he fathered the child to cover for Edwards. Now he'll testify against Edwards.
No, no, it was a Canadian thing because of against, by the way. But
I need better friends. I can't get someone to take me to the airport. This guy gets a guy to claim paternity on an accidental
pregnancy.
He gets
a married guy to claim paternity. First of all, this is where he went wrong. You can't hide your mistress and her kid under a pile of cash. You can't do that. $1 million will not cover that. But now here's the strange thing is that one of the main witness is his aide, the one who had said his former aide, the one who had taken, you know, initially took blame for the paternity suit. And he had said she was living with him. Rielle Hunter was now living with his aide, Andrew Young, and his wife. Now what seems to be the case is a lot of those $1 million were actually Andrew Young used to do construction on his house. So this is like a case of scumbag versus scumbag.
It's actually hard to follow. It's political intrigue, this story.
It seems like Edwards may not be guilty of a crime because it also sounds like he may be, but it sounds like basically this older woman who's now 101 brought, you know, the aide, according to him, he said that she was aware it was going to personal use for him, which I think would make it not a crime, just sleazy.
I apologize because I was in the restroom for a couple minutes. This is the Lifetime Network's first stab at a political intrigue movie, right?
Yes, they're still in negotiations with Meredith Baxter Burney.
Okay.
And then they're going to move forward, which we will also talk about. We got a Lifetime movie coming up with Lindsay Lohan in a bit. We'll mention that. And lastly, to round out our legal section, Rupert Murdoch gets grilled a little bit. Listen to this.
Rupert Murdoch has accused senior employees at News of the World of running a deliberate cover-up to shield him against illegal hacking practices. At the UK inquiry into press standards, the News Corp chairman apologised for not paying the newspaper closer attention.
Dealing with phone hacking at the News of the World, he made a blunt admission.
You know, I have to admit that some newspapers are closer to my heart than others. But I also have to say that I failed.
He agreed there'd been a cover-up of the criminal activities at the News of the World, but said he and those at the top of his empire had also been victims of it.
I do blame one or two people for that. There's no question in my mind that maybe even the editor, but certainly beyond that, someone took charge of a cover-up.
Oh, there was some messed up stuff going on, but not me. Not me. Everybody under me.
The inmates were running the asylum. Every time I turned my back, they...
The Saints couldn't even use that excuse to Roger Goodell. Everybody got in trouble, which we'll talk about here in a moment, but everybody got in trouble basically for bad shit happening under their watch. And this guy is like, what are you talking about? They're like, oh, yeah, it not only happened, there was a cover-up. I had nothing to do with anything.
This guy is it's hard for me to even stay professional in the situation. I just want to see this guy die in penury, who's it? Remember the guy who Madoff's a perfect example, yeah. or Kenneth Lay?
It was nice of you, by the way, to finish eating that sandwich to talk about being professional. But go ahead, I'm with you. I'm with you.
Hey, why don't you deduct it from my check?
that means I'm going to have to get one sandwich back. So here's the thing: he is also being questioned about his relationship, his cozy relationship with a handful of prime ministers, the last few prime ministers, who he has somehow been able to skirt certain monopoly laws.
Is that the one who he was on the yacht with?
Yeah.
He's like,
yacht. The guy flew to his own yacht. Cameron, the current one, flew to his yacht. He had to go visit him.
That should give you an idea of how deeply entrenched some of these power players are when politicians serve at their behest. Like Dick Cheney, you remember Dick Cheney shot a dude in the face. That guy apologized publicly
to Dick
Cheney.
That guy was very sorry his face got in the way. And I was saying, the Saints now couldn't even use that same excuse. Let's listen to this. He's gotten in more trouble. The GM of the Saints gotten this.
More huge news regarding the New Orleans Saints. The Bounty Gate investigation is still not over. Players could be suspended any moment. And now ESPN Outside the Lines is reporting that Saints general manager Mickey Loomis, between 2002 when he took over as the interim general manager for Randy Mueller and 2004, he reportedly, according to Outside the Lines, used a listening device to listen to opposing coaches, what they were saying about their offenses and defenses. The Saints vehemently deny this. This is a quote from Saints Executive Vice President Greg Bensel. The report is 1,000% false. We asked ESPN to provide us evidence to support their allegations, and they refused. The team and Mickey are seeking all legal recourse regarding these false allegations.
And by false, we mean they're not true until you can prove it.
But let me ask you this. You know, I'm not a huge sports fan. How, what kind of evidence do they have for this? Because, I mean, that's a pretty...
That I don't know. But ESPN's show, Outside the Lines, this which I assume ESPN, yeah, which is a credible show. I assume, you know, they were not going to throw this out there with at least some sort of credible source. Now, I don't know what that source is. And obviously, these guys are denying it. But so does everybody who gets caught on steroids. Right. The fact is it hasn't happened. It was only from 2002 to 2004, and then Katrina hit, and all the wiring and everything was done, and it was never redone.
So it only came to an end because...
yeah, because of a different tragedy. But
excessive rainwater.
Now, here's the thing. With all the trouble they're going through, the Louisiana State Police and the FBI are now have a joint investigation going to determine whether the state or federal wiretapping laws have been broken. How much trouble are you getting into? You're beating up people for money. Everybody, while you're getting suspended for that, you're
you have your own water, your modern day Watergate going on.
You got Mission Impossible going on in the background. That is outrageous.
What do you think? How much of the information that he heard in the other what do you call it dugouts? What do you call it in football?
They're on the sidelines.
How much of that you think was actually useful information? And how much of it was God, my crotch itches?
Well, they were not good yet either. So I mean, there was probably some crotch itch, but I mean, you're listening to the offense and defensive headsets. It's not like you're listening to the back room. So it's the coach's headsets. So if they're talking about their crotch, they're probably worse. But the Saints were not good at that point, so it only did them so much good.
Now, for any viewer who's as ill-informed on the subject as I am, is there any proof that they actually used that information to their benefit?
Not yet. None of that has come out yet. They've denied it. And I don't even know how. I don't even know how it would be used that quickly. But that being said,
I mean, couldn't it be a matter of, hey, their next play is, you know, a flea flicker.
It could be, but I don't know. One, I don't know where you have your knowledge of football. But two, I also don't know. I don't know how quickly he can get that information down. But I mean, yeah, I would assume it could be.
They're going to hand the football to the guy with the flags.
In theory, it could be that. Yes, I mean that's at least why somebody would do it. I would assume. Real quick, let's talk about somebody named World Peace throwing a massive elbow, getting 7-game suspension.
He is spreading world peace one
elbow at a time.
Yeah,
that is nice. That is nice. That's a nice way to put it. Some people thought he should have gotten a longer suspension. Other people were coming to his defense, saying he's been on his best behavior for the last few years.
Oh well, hey then.
So I don't know I don't know if there being a long time between you having horrifying events is a great excuse.
Thank God they're not trying to apply that defense to George Zimmerman. Huh?
Yeah.
But, hey, you know, it's been 6 years since he shot a young Negro. You know?
Doesn't they had one? The Lakers, by the way, have won without him. So they are one win down in round one of the recently started basketball playoffs. Knicks lose by 33. The reigning MVP, Derrick Rose of Chicago, who was probably Miami's only competitor going to the finals. He tore his ACL. He is out for the remainder of the year. Hockey playoffs have been going on. The local Kings knocked off the first place in the NHL, Vancouver Canucks. Exciting stuff going on there. But let's get the headlines real quick. Lindsay Lohan, where I was saying, tabbed to play Liz Taylor in Lifetime biopic Liz and Dick, which I believe is about Liz Taylor's porn industry days. No?
Boom.
Thank you.
I'll be here all weekend.
Liz and Dick, about her with Richard Burton. I would have loved, by the way, for them to go later in her life when she had a dinner a tea party, I'm sorry, with Michael Jackson and his chimp Bubbles. I wish they would cover that scene, but they will not.
It honestly sounds like the product of hallucinogenic mushrooms, what you just said.
Yeah, I really wish I would have seen that live. That would have been awesome. Octomom, what a wonderful woman, spends $520 on a haircut. Department of Family and Children Services recently paid a visit to her when an anonymous tipster who seems to be the person who gave her that haircut called in a complaint saying the kid seemed unclean and were in substandard conditions. She also complained that that the Octomom, whose name is Nadia Solman, also paid $520 for a haircut and Brazilian blowout. I don't know what that is, but it sounds wonderfully filthy. And in the picture that came with the article, she looked a little like Paul Rudd, which is not great.
I have to recuse myself from this story, I guess, because I fathered one of those litters of children with her. Well, I got to tell you, man, first of all, I know we as a civilized society cannot judge people based on their appearance, but just look at this one. Look at the look in her eyes. She looks like a woman who, if she didn't have that many kids, would have that many cats.
She may have both. They said that as she was walking, babies just kept dropping out onto the floor. So I don't know. She's like a Pez dispenser.
I think anyone who has more children than waking hours in the day needs to be psychoanalyzed. Because really, there's something wrong. I mean, what are you trying to prove by having more children than you could possibly care for or afford to have?
Yeah, well, when you couldn't afford the first six, you said another eight would be a good idea. That's your logic should be questioned, but that doctor should be in jail as well. Yeah. And speaking of doctors, a Florida surgeon and retired professor of gynecology who now practices cosmetic gynecology, seems like a strange place for makeup, reports that he found the G-spot in an 83-year-old Polish woman. So she had it. That's where it was. He told MSNBC.
Was he off the clock?
She was off the clock. She was dead. She was... he told MSNBC that it is not an extension of the clitoris. Can't believe I'm saying that on air, as many experts believe, but a discrete structure angling away from the urethra. I assume he's talking about Aretha Franklin.
Either that or a cluster of tumors.
Well, that's the thing. Has he found it? And turns out other doctors are saying there's, you know, she's an 83-year-old woman, 30 years past menopause. So gross. And also hard to know what a dead woman was feeling. Lastly, the blind Chinese activist.
Oh, I want to talk about the box some more. You're killing me.
My apologies. We are running late. A blind Chinese activist. I'm going to go with the name Chen Guangcheng. Nailed it.
Terrible pronunciation.
I nailed it. It sounded a little Jewy for Chinese, but yeah, I guess I can get away with it. He was in a lot of trouble and was jailed because he showed forced abortions or sterilizations. He exposed it. I don't know if there was video, although he's blind. I don't know how he's shooting video. Then again, he's blind. I don't know how he escaped. 19 months round the clock surveillance and security agents lost him. He climbed over a wall and escaped.
Did you know that he was the inspiration for the comic book character Daredevil?
I didn't, but I'm sure there's a good chance that there will be a movie about him soon, and there will, I'm sure, be some sort of cool car chase.
Played by Jet Li, who will far out act Ben Affleck.
It is. Dude, that's amazing. You're China. You're China, and you lost a blind guy.
It's not like you don't have plenty of people to watch him. But I got to ask you, that I think escaping from China has probably got to be the most onerous task you can take on. How big is China? I mean, how many vehicles do you need to leave that country? You know?
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Transportation costs. It must be $60,000.
You can crowd surf out of there. There's enough people. Yeah. Time for What's Wrong with People. Who's your douchebag, buddy?
I'm going to go with Rupert Murdoch.
That's a good one.
If not for this offense, for the culmination of all the other things, you know, that he did.
I think that's fair. That's hard to argue with that one. And he would thank you in a very cool accent. So I'm sure that would go over well. I'm gonna have to go with the Chinese government. You're dickish enough to actually throw him in jail, but you can't keep an eye on the guy who can't see you keeping an eye on him. Have a good week, everybody.
Take care, guys. Thanks for tuning in.